At last he came to the final row of buildings, to Cecilia's treatment unit. Like the others, it was stone-faced and low, with a covered terrace on this side. The terrace on the far side had no roof. That should make it easier. He put his card in the door, which slid open. Inside, the expected staff member, this time the gray-haired man in yellow, who checked his pass, his ID, and reminded him again of the rules.
She's having a good day, and I've just finished toileting and bathing her. She's all fresh and sweet for you.
Thank you.
If she could see, she'd have a perfect view of the festival. At least you can enjoy it.
Ronnie wondered whether a fake sulk or a pretense of boredom would be better.
I wish I could. If I hadn't, I mean, my regiment's got a contestant up.
Ah, balloon or glider?
Both, of course.
Ronnie pulled himself up and tried for Pompous. It had been easy last year, when he still thought the regiment's place in the air races mattered.
Well, you can see them through her window. Or, if you wish, open the sliding door onto the west terrace. It won't bother her.
I'd better not. If Mother found out I was neglecting Aunt Cecilia to look at the festival, she'd skin me.
I won't tell. Go ahead.
I think she gets the tapes or something. She knew last week when I read for a half an hour.
He had read for half an hour, setting up this situation. His mother hadn't mentioned it, but he was sure tapes were being made, and someone at this level shouldn't know how many people got copies.
Oh, that's easy to arrange. I can put it on a loop for...
Oh, would you? I'd be terribly grateful. It can't matter to Aunt Cecilia. You're all very tactful about it. But the doctor said her brain was gone. And if I have to spend all today cooped up in here just looking at her and pretending to talk to her...
He held out his credit chip.
I'd like to buy a fruit punch, too.
The man fed the chip into the unit reader, flicking the buttons, and handed it back to Ronnie when it popped free. The cash, how much, Ronnie couldn't tell, never actually changed hands.
What you do is you go in there and act normal for about 10 minutes. Don't just sit still. Pour some water, touch her hand, sit down, stand up, talk to her softly. Then come out and go to the toilet. I'll loop the tape at that point, and only an expert will know you're just repeating things for the rest of your visit. See this button? Push it when you leave, and I'll put the tape back to real time.
Oh, thanks.
Ronnie had no idea if the man was honest or honestly dishonest, but it was worth a try. He went in, and for 10 minutes, that felt like 10 years, acted like a bumbling, nervous, miserable nephew. As near as he could, the same he'd acted in all his visits. He stroked Cecilia's cool, dry brow and her thin, wrinkled, flaccid hands, then turned away to wipe his eyes and pour himself a glass of water. Finally, he left and went into the toilet in the outer room. When he came out, the man in yellow stood by the outside door, gave him a final thumbs up, and left. Ronnie went back to Cecilia and sat there a little longer before letting himself look outside. Behind Cecilia's unit, the clinic land ran down to the river, a meadow mowed just too high for comfortable walking. He could see 4 or 5 balloons from inside the room, one quite low, but it was the wrong color. A parasail slid across, a long, low glide that ended with a landing at the far end of the meadow. Ronnie gave Cecilia a kiss on the brow and then walked over and opened the glass door to the terrace. Balloons crowded above him. The air smelled fresh, the scent of mown grass mingling with a faint tang of smoke from the burners. People hung over the edges of baskets and waved. He waved back. Some balloonists could indeed steer, he saw. Not all used the same method, but he saw balloons wallowing across the wind with the aid of propellers, compressed air jets, and even oddly shaped rudders. All in brilliant colors, in stripes and stars and plaids. He took a quick look at his watch, then tried to peer upwind. She ought to be here soon. And he had to unhook his aunt from her monitors, praying that the attendant had been honest, that the tape was on a loop, that the loop included her monitors. He ducked back inside and put on the thin surgical gloves he'd brought. Inside his own shirt and slacks were clothes for her. Pants and shirt, socks, soft slippers. Folded flat between his jacket and its lining was a thin balloonist's coverall with garish stripes. Bubbles was supposed to bring something to cover Cecilia's hair.
I'm sorry about this.
Quickly, he threw back the covers. The sight of her thin white legs, her feet strapped into braces to prevent contractures, nearly broke his concentration. As gently as he could, he unstrapped them and struggled to put her socks on. He had never dressed even a child. He had no idea how hard it was to put socks on without cooperation. Then he lifted her legs and worked each foot into one leg of the slacks. She seemed so much heavier than she looked. He was having to tug and yank at her. He hoped it didn't hurt. Bubbles had warned him what he might find next. The tubes, the bags. He didn't want to think about it, let alone look at it or touch it. But he had to. He glanced, feeling the blood rush to his face, even though he was alone with an unconscious woman. Nothing. She must have had, his mind, avoiding the present, struggled for the phrases, that surgery which implanted a programmable sphincter control. Without really looking, he wrestled the slacks up to her hips, and with a skillful lift he'd practiced on Bubbles, all the way up to her waist. He wouldn't have made it without that practice. He should have practiced all the dressing, but he'd assumed it would be easier. Perhaps the attendants who cared for her did more than guard against intruders. His eyes registered the scars on her belly, but he refused to stop and stare at them. Now for the rest. He risked another quick glance outside and saw the rose and silver balloon in the distance. He had to work quickly. Trying not to feel anything at the sight, he pulled open the front of the clinic gown. He had to find the ports through which she was fed, suctioned, medicated. A flat, peach-colored plastic oval on her upper chest must be one. Three little caps stuck up like grotesque nipples. One blue, one green, one yellow. Behind her right ear, another plastic oval. This one with a silver nipple.
If the monitors don't use external wires, and most don't these days, they'll have built-in transmitters to either the bed with relays to a nursing station or direct to the nursing station.
He remembered that. Either sort could transmit up to 30 meters, which meant that nothing should show on the monitors, even if they were being watched, until Cecilia was more than 10 meters from the bed. He had that much time to get well away from the unit before the alarms went off. No external wires today, and nothing connected to the ports. It should have been simple, but the feel of his aunt's flaccid body as he pulled her forward, pulled off the gown, and worked her arms into the shirt made it difficult. Now the coverall. This was quicker, since it had been designed to fit loosely over clothes, and since he had practiced how to put it on Brunn. Of course, she wasn't as limp, even when she tried to lie still. He rolled Cecilia up on one side and got foot and hand into the loose sleeves. He worked the coverall close under her, then rolled her back over, tugged, and fitted the second arm and leg in. Then the pressure seals, and now she looked like a fallen balloonist, a normal person, a real person. It must have taken hours. Bubbles would have drifted past. He was vaguely aware of sounds from outside, hoots and cries and angry voices back toward the main buildings, laughter and shouts from the meadow. He picked his aunt up, again surprised at how heavy she was, and moved near the door. The rose and silver balloon blocked his view upwind. He looked up to see Bubbles' white face staring back at him. The balloon sagged heavily, the basket scraping through the ornamental hedge between the next unit and this. It tilted half over before breaking free. Then it dragged along the ground and bumped the edge of the terrace.
Now, I can't stop it!
Ronnie lunged outside, clumsy with the weight in his arms. He staggered into the side of the basket. Bubbles grabbed his aunt by the shoulders and pulled. Together, they got her over the basket's rim and in, although she landed heavily, almost on her head.
Straighten her out! Get her head up!
Get back inside!
Ronnie wanted to protest, but her hand was already on the burner control. He looked around. Bubbles' balloon had blocked his view of the meadow and the air overhead. He hoped it had blocked others' view of the basket for that critical few moments. Now that it was past, he could see that the meadow roiled with balloons, parasails, even two gliders being hastily de-winged for transport. When he went back into the empty room, the open bed seemed to stab his heart. His eyes filled. Forcing himself to be calm, He checked the IV pump and stripped off the medicine label. It might or might not help, but it was worth a try. Then he pulled the covers up and went into the unit's front room. He badly wanted to use the toilet, but didn't dare take the time. Now he had to get out. To be seen leaving with nothing in his hands and no aunt slung over his shoulder. He reached for the outer door and remembered that he still had on those gloves. He was supposed to have put them in the basket for Bubbles to take away. Instead, he'd have to have them in his pocket, along with the medicine label.